Proverbs 16:14, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. The wrath of the king is as angels of death because the king has all authority. That's what it means to be king. What you say goes. There's no one to stop him carrying out his will. And if his will is wrath, then death is inevitable. With everybody else, there's a long way between wrath and death. You may be wrathful, but you better think twice before it comes to death. There's a long way in between there for us now, and there's consequences, but not with the king. See, what we see here is sovereignty. The wrath of the king is as angels of death. That's what that word is there. It's more often translated angels than it is messengers. With God, the king of the universe, with Christ, the king of kings and lord of lords, this is infinitely true. God's wrath upon you, what does that mean? Does God just get mad at people like we do? No. God's wrath upon me means upon you and me means that we murdered his son. That's what it means. And laughed about it. And are still laughing about it by nature. That's what it means. We killed the Prince of Life. Now, if you're not a sinner, then you don't have anything to worry about. But if you are, then you're dead already. And you just don't know it yet. Because the wrath of the king, we are by nature the children of wrath. So we're dead already, but unless, the word unless has to come into play here. Unless, you see, there's that beautiful word in our text. Unless in your case, it's not true in every case, the king has mercy on whom he will. But if in your case, for you, on your behalf, the king is pacified. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but right now, sovereignty. Wrath equals death because of who he is. Who's going to stop him? If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, then who's going to help you? He is the sovereign. There's just one. There's just one king. I say to people, even in earthly matters of rebellion, you've heard me say this before, even just in earthly matters, and I say just, but I wouldn't minimize this if I were you. But even in earthly matters of rebellion against him, and you see it on every hand, in what people consider to be innocent things, in little things, according to the world. But here's the thing, you don't know who you're dealing with. That's the problem. People, we don't know who we're dealing with. If you have no interest in the worship of God, you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't just ignore him. You don't just shun him. He's the king. You've got no time for the Lord of glory. And you wonder why your life is a wreck. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. I've dealt with this. And these are just my observations of things that people go through and I know about. You wonder why in the world, you know, my marriage is falling apart and my life is just one stressful disaster after another. I wouldn't wonder about it. You don't know who you're dealing with. That's the problem. Now, believers deal with the same things, the same troubles in life at times. And it's not God dealing with us after our sins. You have to be careful about that, don't you? Remember, the disciples asked, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord said, it ain't about that. That's really what he said, isn't it? Because he said, neither. But he's not saying there that they didn't sin. It's just not about that. It's not about that. It's about the glory of God. So you got to be careful about that, though. If God dealt with us according to our sins, we'd all be in hell right now. We need to understand that. But that doesn't change the fact that I don't recommend snubbing God and having no use for the God that made you, and then saying, God, why is my life a wreck? There's nothing stupider than that. You don't know who you're dealing with. Men, you know, men say, I'm my own man, you know. I've done this and I've done that, like the man that said, I'll have to tear down these little barns, you know, and build bigger barns because just look how successful I am. And the Lord said he was a fool. He's a successful fool. But men, you know, this is, again, just my observations. Proud, self-made men, you know, irresponsible as a husband and a father, failing to raise your family in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You don't know who you're dealing with. Women, you've decided you want to wear the pants in the family. That's an outdated saying, isn't it? Because everybody wears pants now. That was probably made up back when women didn't wear pants that much. But, you know, they just decide, I think I'll just be in charge of things and make all the decisions. Or maybe even worse, so many women these days, to them, a family is more of a hindrance than it is a blessing from the Lord. It's more of a pain, you know. And they're not shy about hiding it. Their children are a burden to them. Really? I'm pretty sure love isn't like that. And you don't know who you're dealing with. It's the Lord that gave you that position as a mother and a father. That's his authority, and he gives it to whom he will. It's not to be taken lightly. You may see rebellion against God manifested in other ways. Those are just things that I've observed. When I see somebody mowing their grass on the way to worship, you know, what a picture that is. The people of God are going to worship the Lord. And that's nothing to brag about, is it? That doesn't say anything about us. That says something about him. And you're out mowing your grass, you know. I don't hold any malice for them. I don't want to. I don't want to hold any malice for somebody like that. I just think, how is it going to be for them today, much less eternally, living under the wrath of God? If you've got no use for God, how's that going to go for you today, much less in eternity? And that's just earthly matters. And again, I say just, but here's the thing about that. Bowing to Christ is all or nothing. It's all or nothing. If you bow to him, you bow to him in everything. Bowing to the Son of God and believing on him is not a decision that you need to make. Sinners don't know who they're dealing with. When the king says, honor my son, he is not saying you have a decision to make. That's not what he's saying. We don't know who we're dealing with. And since none of us, by nature, ever bow, the old man never bows to God. Never. Not one time. Rebellion is our nature. Adam being our father. And so we are by nature the children of, there's our text, wrath. Even as others. Wrath. And the wrath of the king is certain death. It's all of the angels of heaven having one task, in your case, to absolutely destroy you. And it wasn't their idea. And as we've said already now, our rebellion was expressed in murdering the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the apex of our rebellion against God, is murdering his son. That's the issue. This is the condemnation. There's that other beautiful word in our text, pacify. The king can and will be pacified. You notice it doesn't say in the text a wise man would pacify it, the wrath. It says he will. And that's not just a coincidence that it says it that way. Pacify. In the context of our scripture verse, this word pacify is the opposite of wrath. You know what it means? We know what to pacify somebody means, to calm them down, you know, and in earthly terms. But in this book, that word pacify, if you look it up, it is translated more than any other way, atonement. To cover, to purge, to make reconciliation, to atone. And the eternal question is this, though, how can man? And that's what has to happen. Man has got to pacify God. But how do you pacify God for killing God? How do you make up for that? That's why they said in the book of Acts, brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? If we really killed God, what are we going to do about that? And think about it this way. How can the holy God be pacified when everything that we've ever done has been, is, and will be sin? It will be sin. Everything you're going to do is going to be sin. You haven't ever done a sinless act, and you never will. You've never thought a sinless thought, and you never will. Well, as our text says, it's going to take a wise man to do it. A wise man will. We can't. We can't. There's no way we can. Now, you know, if somebody cut me off in traffic, and then I found out later it was somebody I knew, you know, and they said, "Man, was that you?" And I said, "Yep. You did it." I could forgive that pretty easy, couldn't you? You know, they were in a hurry, whatever. But if you killed my son, this nonsense about going down to the jail, you know, and visiting the person that murdered somebody you love and saying, "I forgive you," you know, forget about that. It ain't happening. Not going to happen. And I think it's hypocritical to do it. I don't think anybody can truly forgive. They just want to feel good about themselves. You can't do that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1 with me. I think the scripture best expounds the scripture. First Corinthians 1:20. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? That's a good question, isn't it? It's going to take a wise person to pacify the king. Where is one? Show me one. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Where is somebody that knows more than somebody else? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And when God, there's a wording here, God made it foolish. If God makes something foolish, it's foolish. That's where the wise is. He's a fool. He just thinks he's wise. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by its so-called wisdom, and I'm not trying to add to the word here, this is just, that's clear, isn't it? He just said, where is the wise? Well, the world by its wisdom knew not God. And think about that. If you don't know God, what do you know that matters? What is wisdom? Oh, well, I know lots of stuff. Do you know God? If not, you're an idiot. You don't know anything that matters. The world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them. Now, it doesn't say here, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to make men wise. Although the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. But wise unto salvation is Christ being your wisdom, not you being smart. You see that now? It pleased him to save them anyway, even though they're idiots. He's going to save some of us idiots anyway. He just is, isn't he? Because that's him. To save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. What they call wisdom is foolishness, and what they call foolishness is the wisdom of God. What a sad case. But unto them which are called. Wait, I thought it was them that believe. It is. Who believes? Those that are called. Both Jews and Greek. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. It didn't please him to make you wise by the preaching. It pleased him to make Christ your wisdom by these means, the preaching of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ has pacified the wrath of God. His wrath against all of his elect is pacified by Christ the Lord, by him obeying God for us in everything and in every way that we rebelled. And at the cost of his precious blood. Him who is the wisdom of God has pacified the wrath of God for us. That's why we're here. Amen. Let's pray.